Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Our Project Milwaukee series last year on the issue of the incarceration rate among African-American men in the Milwaukee area pointed to the apparent disparities in traffic stops and other citations. These encounters with the law often resulted in offenders ending up back in prison.
A series of reports just out in the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service goes further into the disparities. Reporter Brendan O'Brien examined these disparities and the financial impacts that they have.
Brendan O'Brien is with us in the studio now. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
So what were the specific issues you were trying to explore with a series of stories?
The first issue that the main issue was this idea of a disproportionate amount of tickets written in the poorest of our neighborhoods.
And beyond that, you found a number of other kind of dichotomies as you explored it?
We did. I did. I found that people don't pay their tickets because they can't afford to pay their tickets. But on the other end, a lot of the individuals I talked to, a lot of the defendants still believe in the judicial system, that without it, society would be the wild, wild west. We need rules and laws and regulations to have a fair and just society.
Well, and so what was the difference you found when you compared how many tickets and fines were being issued in one part of the city to another?
Well, let's take, for instance, the 53206 zip code and compare it to the 53215 zip code.
Which you use as representative of the city at large, right?
Exactly. The 53215 zip code has just about the same amount of people percentage-wise in poverty, about a third. And what I found was police wrote about one ticket for every four people in the 06 zip code compared to one ticket for every 11 people in the 15 zip code in 2014. So there was this huge disparity.
What are the kinds of offenses we're talking about?
Very small offenses. Broken headlights, not having registration, vehicle registration, loitering, small retail theft, very small minor infractions. Most of them were not violent infractions.
Well, and you talked to a number of defendants, and it sounds like you spent quite a lot of time in courtrooms sort of watching justice play out. And it sounds like a lot of these people either really are trying to pay and taking an extremely long amount of time to be able to pay these fines, or just aren't able to pay at all.
Yes. For example, I spoke to one defendant who said that during the court proceeding, he told the judge he just didn't have $20 to pay for deposit. He was trying to get himself his life back in order and just didn't have even $20 to his name. I spoke to another individual that only had $35 in his wallet and he was expected to pay a far greater sum. But these individuals were in court and trying to do the right thing. So they were stuck in doing the right thing and not being able to do the right thing because of their poverty.
So how much discretion do courts have? I mean, you spoke with one judge who's kind of right in the middle of it and seems to see both sides of the issue, Derek Mosley. What's his take on what an indigent defendant should do?
The first thing that Judge Mosley told me, was to come to court. Good things happen in court. The only way defendants get reduced fines and reduced points off of their driver's license is if they come to court and talk to the judge. He can also give them time to pay. Derek Mosley also incentivizes people getting jobs. He reduces fines. He removes fines for people that come back to court and show that they have gotten a job. He understands the issues. He understands the balance between victims and defendants and what's fair and just. But he also understands the layer of poverty and the layer of situations that are going on the street and how defendants are trying to navigate their lives but also do the right thing.
He kind of makes the point, though, that there are times that he really does have to think about the victim in this situation.
Sure. For instance, he told me that he goes to a lot of community meetings where individuals, residents, homeowners are telling them, we need more police. We need more tickets written. We can't have the loitering out in our neighborhoods, on our stoops. We need to have police there to clean up our neighborhoods. But then there's a balance that he feels that he has to strike because he also hears from people that say there's too much police.
Can defendants be declared legally indigent? That is, you know, officially unable to pay their fines?
They can't. But that brings up a totally separate issue, and that is, how much knowledge defendants have of the system.
Okay, so how did you look into that? What did you find in terms of how easy it is for a defendant to navigate the system?
It's not easy at all. Defendants, statistics show, just don't know their rights. They don't know that they can get alternative sanctions like community service. Judges typically don't tell them about their alternative sanctions. A lot of the conversations with defendants revolve around payment and not about their ability to pay.
Well, and you also write that there's a big gap in terms of what happens to defendants with lawyers and what happens to defendants without legal representation, right?
Yeah. So if you're a defendant without a lawyer, the chances of your citation being dismissed or you found out guilty is about 8%. If you have a lawyer, it is 57%. And that is based on statistics that we drew up for the last 4 years. So getting a lawyer is greatly beneficial to you if you're a defendant. But the lawyer costs a lot of money. And again, we're talking about individuals that don't have a lot of money.
Well, and I think it was a staggering statistic that I think it was, what, something like 2% of the cases that are adjudicated in municipal court, these kinds of cases, the defendant had a lawyer?
Yes. Now, it goes back to what defendants, what people understand about their judicial system, especially about municipal court. Individuals typically, when they get a citation, believe that's just the bill, that they've been found guilty and that's it. They stick it in their bill pile and eventually they pay it or they don't pay it. When in fact, a citation is a summons, they can go and fight it. And again, it goes back to Judge Mosley's point is come in. Good things are going to happen. You have a better chance of winning your case if you take it to trial. Now, that brings up a whole different set of issues because that takes a lot of time and energy. Do people really want to walk into court 3 or 4 times to adjudicate their case? There's also a separate issue about trust. We are talking about a municipal court facility that is in the police department. You walk in this place and it is full of cops. There is a distrust amongst the community, especially inner city, with cops these days. And so they are finding that a lot of people don't show up because they believe they're going to be thrown in handcuffs in jail. And that's just not true.
You also looked at how accessible court documents were. Why was that an important issue for you to examine?
It's important because, again, defendants don't know their rights. They don't know what is really going on with their case. And so they get a citation and it's a small slip. It's a slip of paper and it says briefly what they're accused of. But they don't know what type of case the police have against them. And so we went out and randomly selected a case and tried to follow it through. It was just a random case that we found on the police's website that we followed for about 6 weeks. And what we found was that it was really tough to get any type of information from police officials. We went to clerk's windows asking about the case. We made phone calls to the cops about the case. And we just were never able to really get a good handle about what actually went down. The particular situation was a woman had a knife and she was going to slash someone's tires and there was some altercation. Police showed up and wrote some tickets. We don't know what actually went down, what type of evidence the police garnered from the situation. We don't know what eyewitnesses saw. We just don't know anything about this case. And that is somewhat concerning because as a public, we want to know what our police are up to.
And the point being, if you as a journalist had a hard time getting these documents, the idea that a defendant could get them easily is tough to imagine.
We spent, myself and another reporter, spent a good 15, 20 hours on this particular case. We stood in lines. We made phone calls. I could only imagine someone that does not do this for a living trying to navigate the system. Someone who has a job and has to be there 9 to 5 is going to have even a much more difficult time standing in a line or making phone calls about a particular case. And it gets frustrating after a while when you continue to be denied at a clerk's window or on the phone. You're waiting to talk to a police officer who never calls you back.
Brendan O'Brien, thanks so much. Nice job.
Thank you.
Brendan O'Brien is a reporter with the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. You'll find links to his stories on disparities in municipal citations at WUWM.com.